This is a Women Uninterrupted podcast, the space where we host difficult conversations between different generations of women. Brought to you by The Hindu. Hello, I'm your host Anna Thomas on Women Uninterrupted, and with me I have Dr. Shefali Tyagi, obstetrician, gynecologist, and an author with more than 21 years of experience. Welcome, Dr. Shefali. So I have invited Ashwini Atavale, who is in her third trimester and looking forward to having her second baby soon. Thank you for coming, Ashwini, and welcome. How are you feeling today? And the second question, do people ask that of you enough?
Thank you for having me over, Hannah. Feeling very fit. And yeah, I've been getting a lot of that recently from friends and family.
Okay, that's a refreshing change from the usual answers I get from pregnant women. What steps do you take to keep fit?
So during my first trimester, I went gymming regularly, starting from the second trimester. And now I've been either walking or going swimming regularly.
Okay. Is that, do you follow your doctor's advice? I guess that's from your advice. What kind of exercise would you recommend for the three trimesters? Are they different? Can we do the same things throughout the three trimesters?
So it actually depends on how active you were before pregnancy. Okay, so what I find is that majority of people are sedentary. And the moment they become pregnant, they want to start everything in pregnancy. So my advice to the listeners would be, if you are planning pregnancy, please start becoming active now. Your body needs to get used to these exercises before you kind of even jump into exercise during the pregnancy. In pregnancy, a lot of changes are happening to each and every organ of your body. And suddenly, if you're not used to exercising, so with those changes and new exercises, it might be slightly difficult to cope up. But if you have been exercising, then it's a good idea to continue in all three trimesters.
Yeah.
Walking is one of the most easiest one to do. So like 30, 40, 45 minutes of walking every day. And then you can, if you have been doing yoga or stretching, that can be continued. Swimming is a good exercise which can be continued all three trimesters. So, and it is highly recommended to be physically active during pregnancy.
Yeah, so Dr. Shefali, one question for you. My glucose tolerance test numbers are a bit above normal. Any advice on the diet and exercise for like pre-gestational or gestational diabetes?
So gestational diabetes is rampant in Indian population. In fact, we have almost the 5 times of world average. And every third to fourth woman what we are testing in pregnancy is turning out to be a gestational diabetic. So you have to be very careful about the diet from day one. That usual concept that, oh, you're pregnant, you eat for two, it has changed now. Okay, you need 300 kilocalories more in pregnancy, which is easily doable. So you have to just increase slightly over your non-pregnant state. And we generally recommend 5 to 6 small meals rather than 3 major ones. So breakfast, mid-morning snack, lunch, evening snack, dinner, and maybe a midnight snack if required. And in food, you have to stick more to the proteins and the vegetables rather than, you know, high carbohydrates, fried food or desserts, etc. That you must cut down. Plus, regular walking exercise is strongly recommended. So if you start following these steps from day one, majority of times you'll not pick up diabetes. But if you have shown higher numbers, then you need to be careful. And then, of course, a dietitian consult is a must. Improve your diet, cut down the carbohydrates, watch out for the calories. And then you have to monitor your sugars regularly.
Okay, now that Ashwini is in her final trimester, I think she wants to ask you.
So basically, what are the signs and symptoms of labor? And how do I recognize them if they are real? Similarly, how do I identify preterm labor?
So for labor, there are generally 4 main signs. One is the labor pain. So in labor pain, you will start feeling like a period cramp type of feeling. The whole baby bump becomes absolutely tight, as if somebody is squeezing you. And a wave of pain will start from back to front. The pain and the tightness will remain for, let's say, 10-15 seconds and it will go away. Initially, it's very irregular, but then it starts building up. The frequency and the intensity, it's continue to increase. So from 15 seconds, it might start lasting for 30-35 seconds and it might start coming every 20 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, like that. So initially, you can wait and see whether it's just an irregular contraction. But once it starts building up, that might be the starting of the true labor pains. So, like, if you're close to your term, then once it starts coming every 10 minutes, you need to go to the hospital. The second symptom is water discharge. So if you're sitting, suddenly full dress will get wet, as if one or two glasses of water has come out of vagina. And whatever you change will get wet. So it will kind of wet your outer clothes, your bedspread, etc. And then a small trickle will start. Whatever you change will get wet. So you don't have to panic. Just keep a pad and go to the hospital. Third symptom is any spotting, bleeding, any mucus tinged with blood. That also needs to be looked into. And the fourth one is the baby movements. That's extremely important. That is indirectly checking your baby's well-being. So basically, you need to keep an eye on the movements. If you feel that the movements are less any day, you have to eat something sweet, play loud music, count for 2 hours. If you can't find 10 movements in 2 hours, it is better to go and get something called NST done in the hospital, which is the best test to see that baby is doing fine or not. So these are the four main indications for labor. And any of these before 37 weeks, you'll have to get checked for preterm labor.
Any other red flags to watch out for during pregnancy overall, or especially during the third trimester?
So bleeding is one of the commonest threatening signs, and it's always very worrisome at each trimester. So be it 7 weeks or 20 weeks, anytime you have any bleeding, brown discharge and all, it has to be checked by the doctor. That time you have to go to the hospital, don't take it casually. And in third trimester, basically one thing is movements. Then any, you know, severe back pain, which is just not settling, or too much of pelvic pain, these period-like cramps, these also need to be looked into early only. Because it should not be that at 32 weeks, you're sitting and not doing anything about that labor type of cramps, and then you ultimately land up into preterm labor. So in these conditions, especially pain abdomen, which you're not able to judge, it's better to go and get checked.
Also, another question was, I'm exploring stem cell banking as an option. Is that something you recommend, or any benefits, or how many families are opting for it? What is the cost, or anything from your side?
So genetics is really advancing in India. In last 3-4 years, we've seen a lot of change in the way the tests have been offered. What we used to read in books, everything is available, and the cost factor has also come in. You know, it has become very affordable. So similarly, stem cell banking is being used in various fields, in many cases, in many experimental cases, in many definitive cases. So I feel that it's going to become better as the time passes. You can explore taking the stem cells and storing it. The cost also has come down. Exact cost and all, probably the hospital will be able to tell you. But you can explore using the stem cells, because it is kind of changing the way the medicine will work in next few years.
So Dr. Shefali, just one question on IVF, right? Many people are still skeptical about it. So just wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
So infertility, unfortunately, has increased quite a bit because of late marriages and planning your baby late. So in some cases, the egg reserves falls drastically, and then women are not able to produce a good quality egg. So in that case, the IVF is suggested, and it could be also the husband has lesser sperm, so there could be a Tubman factor. IVF is quite safe. Now so many thousands and lakhs of babies have been delivered by IVF. So there is a notion that, you know, IVF babies have more chances of malformations or abnormal babies compared to others. But in practical experience, I also have not found that. So many of my patients have had IVF. It's relatively safe, and you must decide about IVF earlier than later, because later the chances of having a successful IVF will still come down.
Dr. Shefali, can we go through some quick FAQs on each of the trimesters? Mm-hmm. Starting with, well, your pregnancy test is positive. How do you choose a gynec?
So, see, one, generally it is the word of mouth, you know, your friend delivered with her or she's comfortable. So they'll recommend, okay, why don't you go and try? And then once you go to the doctor, you have to have a little feel, the okay, that connection is there. Sometimes you have, sometimes you don't have.
Yes.
So if you feel the connection, you see the experience, you see the background, the degrees or the studies where the doctor has done her working, etc., hospital. And then once you become comfortable, then I think you can trust and stick to the same doctor.
Okay. So the first sign would be missing a period.
Missing a period. So once you go and get checked, so then the doctor, according to your gestation, will tell you that whether a blood test is required, whether the ultrasound is required. Depending on that, the pregnancy will be confirmed.
Okay, so what are the things you should expect for your first gynae visit, supposing you're pregnant for the first time?
First thing is that you have to go and tell your entire history. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like your married life, your whether it's a first pregnancy and all, because some people, they've had a miscarriage or a termination before, which they would want to hide for whatever reason. Okay. And then physical history in that, whether you had any surgeries, you had any asthma, any chronic illnesses as a baby. So all this history has to be clearly told. If you're not aware, ask your parents before you go, because some things are very important for your pregnancy and at the time of labor and delivery. Plus your family history, parents, aunt, uncle who have diabetes, who have blood pressure, any blood disorders which run in the family. All this has to be told to the doctor clearly. And then further, once this is the theory part, what the questions are asked, and then about the counseling, that how you go ahead in your pregnancy.
So you said that we could have a dietitian. Is there anybody else you'd recommend, like during pregnancy, a counselor? What kind of other help do you need?
So clearly a physiotherapist is involved, because that exercise part, she takes care.
Right.
Okay. Counseling is, as in the dietitian takes care of the diet. And nowadays, the lactation also is kind of, you know, that first-time moms, they have hardly any idea. So lactation counselor is also being involved.
Yeah.
So that happens the third trimester.
After, you start in the third trimester.
So once they are kind of getting ready for delivery, that time some counseling about how to feed the baby.
Okay. So that's lactation, diet and
physiotherapy. Unless and until you require other doctors like endocrinologist, or, you know, if you have thyroid, if you have sugars or any other physical problems, because sometimes people have kidney disease, sometimes they come with high blood pressure. So then we need other specialists help, like nephrologists, physicians, etc. They are also on board.
So do we have childbirth classes quite common?
Yeah. I mean, now, yes, in Bangalore, the trend is there. Uh-huh. Childbirth classes are there.
Would you recommend them? Are they?
Yes. Why not? And then the more aware you are.
Yeah.
I did those during my first son.
Ah, all right. Yeah. So right now she's also working and dealing with the first son, I guess. Yeah. Time is a factor there. Yeah. But that is something we commonly do in another country.
After COVID, it has generally become online also. And plus people don't find time to, you know, go to the hospital, etc. So online classes are there.
Yeah. How do we, can we choose the kind of childbirth we want to have? Like, you know, there's water and what would you recommend?
Yes, you can choose. Water birth is not that common in Bangalore. One hospital centers are doing it. And plus here the risk of infection is always there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that we are not a little worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, between the vaginal birth and the cesarean, many people will have their own choices. Mm-hmm. And they're very clear from day one that I can't go through vaginal delivery, or I need a section only, or I have to have a normal delivery. So then we try to honor the wishes as much as possible as it is.
Okay. All right. How would you had a question about intercourse during pregnancy. Is that safe?
So from the first scan, generally around 7-8 weeks, when we've seen a good healthy pregnancy, till around 34 weeks, it is safe to have relations. Unless and until doctor has said no, which can happen if you have a low placenta, if you have a short cervix, if there are other chances that you can go into preterm labor. So then we will specifically restrict not to have it.
So the doctor should do a physical examination. That's something girl should expect when she goes. Then there are certain people who don't really know what happens at a gynecologist. So these are the things we actually have to tell.
Internal checkup, we used to do that for vaginal examination is generally out of fashion right now.
Okay.
Okay, because the ultrasounds have come in. So earlier we used to kind of check and uterus looks pregnant. It is like 6 to 8 weeks. That is how. Okay, but that was a sort of, not a very complete confirmation. But now we have ultrasound, and that is a little uncomfortable examination. Mm-hmm. So generally we don't do it nowadays.
Okay.
So that is done mostly towards the end, when you are about to give birth, to see your pelvis, to see how the baby is taken position, how your body is getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
Then one internal examination is done.
Is there anything for the second trimester? How can you just describe the three trimesters? Like, what are the specific features of each of those trimesters?
So in first trimester, for 10 to 12 weeks, you might be more sick than the other times. I mean, this is the most difficult phase, I feel, because that nausea is setting in, loss of appetite, you're tired all the time, breasts are hurting, your frequency of urination is very high. Then you might be feeling feverish, bloated, constipated. And then plus that sinking in, okay, all this is happening, and what you were used to having a free life, suddenly you're feeling sick. So this is the time where two ultrasounds are generally done. one at around 7 weeks to confirm and see that quality of pregnancy, heartbeat and all in the baby. Second one is at 12 weeks to rule out something called Down syndrome and the chromosomal abnormalities. Plus, a lot of other blood tests like your hemoglobin, thyroid, sugar, infections are all screened. So then after 13 weeks, when you step into your second trimester, that becomes a better phase of pregnancy. In fact, that's the best phase because you are not very heavy. All these symptoms of first trimester, they start coming down. You feel back to normal. In fact, many women will get scared. Yo, I'm feeling normal. What is the problem? That will be the complaint that I'm feeling normal. And then your appetite improves. So you start enjoying your pregnancy. In that, at around 19, 20 weeks, another scan is done to see all the organs in the baby. So baby is fully developed by 19 to 20 weeks. After that, the baby grows in size. Mm-hmm. And then you are made to do a sugar test in between so that we see for gestational diabetes. And from 28 weeks, you will be in third trimester where gently a growth scan is done. Again, some discomforts will start. When you turn in bed, it hurts. When you get up, it hurts. Then you start becoming heavy. Any position in sleeping is not comfortable. You become slightly, you know, uncomfortable in any position. And plus later towards the due date, you feel less hungry. You feel nauseous. Sometimes you feel as if you're in first trimester only. And generally, one end-term scan is done between 36 to 37 weeks to see the final weight of the baby and the growth, the fluid, how long we should wait before we deliver you.
Is there a kind of cure for morning sickness or the nausea? Which is there something we can...
We have medicines which help you feel better. Uh-huh. Otherwise, these home remedies of having ginger or having, you know, smaller meals and not stuffing yourself. So all this will help.
Okay, how can we prepare for morning sickness? What is there anything else? If your diet in excess, do they help really?
To avoid morning sickness?
No.
So that's inevitable. But another thing is, morning sickness doesn't affect all the women. That is another scare. I don't have any nausea. That is, they'll be very sad that they don't have nausea. So your pregnancy can be absolutely healthy without having any nausea. So few people will have bad morning sickness. Majority of people will have mild and many will have no morning sickness.
So, Dr. Shefali, your book is called The Safe Journey to Motherhood. Can you tell us more about the book?
So, when I answered these questions day in and day out, then I thought, okay, maybe I can put these questions together. Yeah. So, it is in a question answer format only. And then, I mean, I get all sorts of questions like, one of the favorite ones is, can I eat Maggie? One of the hot favorite ones.
Okay.
So, all these type I tried to, and then it's like parlor, whether waxing, facial, all that, hair color. So many things keep on popping in your mind. And every time you cannot ask the doctor, sometimes you forget.
Yeah.
So I thought I'll kind of compile and, you know, give them the proper medical basis rather than catering to the myths. Like the commonest one is pineapple papaya in our country, that you should not have pineapple and papaya. It's so rampant. When I heard first time, I was like, I've never been taught in my medical school. What is this? Yeah. Then I specifically joined one nutrition in pregnancy from US to see that what we are missing, why I'm hearing this in my private practice. Yeah. And then I realized it's all Indian myth, nothing else.
So we can eat pineapple and papaya. Okay, thank you, Dr. Shefali. Thank you, Ashwini. And do enjoy your final trimester of pregnancy. If you have questions on this episode, you can write in to us at this email, editor@thehindu.co.in with the subject line, Women Uninterrupted. Or look for Dr. Shefali's book, The Safe Journey to Motherhood.
It's available on Amazon.
It's available on Amazon. Signing off on this episode of the Women Uninterrupted podcast, brought to you by The Hindu.